I return today to Romans 4:20. Speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You've scratched that out, haven't you? And written in just faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through, we have the words on the board, the red here, apistia, underlined in blue is the root word pist, which you already know is action based upon belief sustained by confidence. You put an A in front of the Greek word, you've thrown it totally into reverse. He staggered not at the promise of God through apistia, but was strong. We don't have the word there, it's the word for dynamite or dynamo. Was strong in pistai, no A in front of that, going forward. Now the message last Sunday was concentrating on those of us who stagger. Remember that? How many staggered even this week? You see your hand. I'm going to tell you something. I staggered through the week. I staggered here this morning. But you remember the grovelment of what I preached last Sunday? It's okay to stagger. We are going to be staggered. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Archos, exousios, evil spirits, cosmokratoros, pneumaticus, hosts, the spirits pornea, evil. They never let up. It's poly, nonstop wrestling. In this fight, you are going to be staggered. The issue of last Sunday's message is it's okay to be staggered. What will bring you down is the wrong cause of staggering. Now, I preach these nitro pills every year. Every year since I came here. I call them nitro pills because when I had a heart attack, they gave me a bottle of pills that if you have another heart attack, you put under your tongue, it will sustain you and carry you till you can treat it. Never had to use one. But a week ago when I was in a foreign land, I discovered they've upgraded the nitro pills. Now I have a nitro patch. You put a nitro patch up here and it carries you 24 hours. So I wore a nitro patch for 4 days. Now, that's what we're doing now. This year, when I preach these nitro pills, I want them to turn into patches. Patches that are permanently stuck on your heart. All I'm doing as I preach these messages is illustrating, I didn't just preach them to you. They are words, as Pastor Folker said, words powerful from the mouth of the eternal word. They are words to live by. And whomever of you that's been staggered, don't let the devil buffet you as though you're going to fail because you're staggered. He has got clipped a good blow. The issue is, what is staggering you? I'm going to ask my wife to write the fuller phrase on the board of this, he staggered not at the promise of God. Can you write it right over those red letters? He staggered not. It's all right, put it in there. Who? And the red takes off. That's it. That's all I need. Now, that's the phrase being translated. He staggered not at, he staggered not through apistia. You with me? Can you see that? Those who listen on radio, ou diakrithi, t, ou is not. Not, he staggered through the definite article there, t, makes apistia the common state. There are certain words that take on a commonality. You can just talk about the this and the that. He staggered not through the apistia, the common kind of disfaith. You know, it's really hard to believe in miracles. Anybody that doesn't say that is pretty limited intelligence. I mean, we live in an educated world that crushes belief in the supernatural. You never get the United States generation to give themselves as martyrs under the preaching of a cleric who doesn't seemingly want the same reward for himself by simply telling you if you kill an American and die a martyr, you get 70 or 73 virgins. As soon as you get on the other side, you're going to be leapfrogging like a rabbit. The only problem with that, the scholars have now shown, the word for virgins, Arabic, is borrowed from the Aramaic. In that culture, raisins were signs of wealth and surplus and well-being. And the most precious raisins were the white raisins. And if you had a special guest, you would serve them on entry, these special white raisins. Now, why did these poor martyrs give their life to end up saying, where's my 73 virgins? And they hand him, well, here's your 73 white raisins. We do not live in a gullible age. I'm going to go to Abraham again tonight. Abraham, my wife pointed it out. God appeared to Abraham first in a vision. Then he appeared to him in reality. And then he talked with him. Well, I say, why doesn't that happen now? Why doesn't God come down and talk to me like he does all these TV evangelists? And I'm going to be honest enough to tell you, they ate too many beans of their line. God is not talking to these Gnostic, super spiritual, one-upmanship, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that people. Why would you say that? Because God said he wouldn't. Period. In the book of Hebrews, it opens saying, God in divers times past, the times past spoke in divers means. I could catalog them. The burning bush. Wind. fire, Balaam's ass. God spoke in diverse means, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The eternal Word struck a tent in human flesh and became the living Word to become the teaching and the preached Word, to become then the implanted Word, to produce the engrafted Word, and join the circle where we go with Him as the eternal Word. God makes it very clear through Christ. We cannot demand signs. There's only one sign that God bent down and condescended to give to this skeptical world. The sign of the resurrection. He came out of that tomb. Now, blessed are those that had the experience of first person eyewitness encounter with that miracle act of the resurrection. We fall in the camp of those that Peter says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet love. I have come to know Isaiah's words are a real theme song. He truly is a God who hideth Himself. He sent His Son. He gave His Word. He said He wouldn't talk the way He used to talk anymore. And He put the load on us in this new life of faith to take Him at His Word and wait eternity if necessary to have the face-to-face encounter. You say, well, what about Paul? I just said, one of the blessed ones that got the experience of seeing the risen Savior. He couldn't help me as much as Thomas. I had to pursue the evidence. But every time I go in the chapel, at King's House too, I remember part of the message of Bruce Reed, shall he not break? The smoking flax shall he not quench? He said to Thomas, better to believe without seeing. But here, take a look. He came down to that bruised reed. Small wonder, Thomas cried out, my Lord and my God, sailing to the coast of India, penetrating the heart of India, never ever doubting again. Oh, do I want those kinds of experiences? Yeah. My dad had one. I wish I could wake up and sit up and say to my baby, the Lord appeared to me last night. And He told me the exact hour and the exact date He's going to heal me. I cannot demand or require that of Him. He's already uttered His words. Mine is to hang on with only one fingernail. Thus saith the Lord, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I want you to see what you can't allow. You can't stagger for the wrong reason. Now, let me translate this. Do not diacrethi. Now that is really two words. Dia, which means to and fro, swinging back and forth. Krethi is a derivative of krino, mind. You can't. He staggered not. He was not to and froing with his mind with the common disfaith. Now that form of the word diakrithi, I can't get up there and write all the grammar. It's a participle. It's an ongoing happening. It's aorus, which means it's a past tense. He's being described in his continuous past participial action. But it is also middle deponent. Now, in the middle voice, you know this. The Greek has this middle voice form that's in the arrangement of the letters that instantly tell you the role of the subject in the action. The action is to and froing with the mind, staggering with the mind. The middle deponent form of the word says he's doing it to himself. When you diakrithi, one of the verb forms is diakrithamai, or diakrino. This form of the word, we're saying, not. Not did Abraham weave to and fro, stagger in his mind. More than that, Abraham did not stagger himself. Abraham was not weaving to and fro, staggering with himself. He was not going to make himself stagger through the common attitude that pervades this world, a pistis, back or opposition or the opposite of faith. He, in other words, was not going to stop acting, stop believing, stop acting and believing with confidence that the promise of God would be his. He absolutely refused to stagger himself or let himself be staggered by becoming common in a pistis. You understand what I'm saying? Stagger all week. Let the blows come. Cry out for help. Don't stagger yourself through the common attitude. It ain't going to work. God's not going to come through. He's had all the time he needs. I know he said it, but maybe the translation's wrong. How many are guilty? Staggering yourself with thoughts like that. This is a very simple message. Just a step beyond last Sunday. You're going to make it. I'm going to make it. We're going to make it. Hanging on to God's word. Acting, believing in confidence. We're not going to make it if we stagger ourselves through disfaith. You shut it out of your mind. You rebuke it. It's like God is not the author of fear. And what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. God's not the author of disfaith. You have to keep acting. No matter how much the staggering blows, you've got to stay up, get up. I tell you, if you can't stand up, sit up. If you can't sit up, nod your head. If you can't nod your head, blink your eyes. You cannot let yourself stagger yourself through disfaith. Now, where do I go from here? To Abraham. Genesis 13. Another nitro pill to show you how easy it would be for Abram to stagger himself. He's had this hanger-on, Lot, a nephew, undedicated, with him everywhere he went, leeching off of God's blessings on Abraham. They come back up from Egypt, and they're both rich in goods and cattle. And they come back to the place where God first said, this is the place, near what we call Bethel Nablus today on the modern map. And it says, Abram returned to the tent and the altar, the characteristic of the life of faith in Abraham, the tent, always ready to be struck quickly and follow God's leading. The altar, the place where you constantly adjust. The rights belong to God. Mine is to turn myself over to Him. Sure enough, an old-fashioned cattle range war breaks out. Lot's herdsmen, Abram's herdsmen, they get in a fight because those uplands, rocky uplands of Samaria, won't support the tremendous herds they have. Abram says to Lot, "Let there be no strife between us. We be brethren. You choose. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You choose the left, I'll go to the right. You choose." This greedy little nephew, all of whose blessings were the result of having been with Abram. Sure enough, he looks at the well-watered plains of Jordan, a mixture like the Garden of Eden and the flesh pots of Egypt. And he says, that's for me. He takes the best, leaves Abram in the rocky hillsides of Samaria, takes off for Jordan. You have to somehow put flesh and blood on this man of faith. He wouldn't have kept Lot with him those many years if he hadn't had hopes that Lot would someday walk with God as he walked with God. Can you imagine the bitter pill of the kindness that Abram had shown Lot, even risking his own relationship with God because God had told him to get away from Ur and away from his family? And sure enough, when the chips are down, Lot turns into a rat. But he was a rat that Abram loved. This is not a high point in Abram's life. This is a low point. I'm sure his herdsmen, his congregation, his cattlemen, they must have wondered why Abram would still cater to this spoiled nephew. I'm sure some of them were whispering, if Abram would let us, we'd kick a lot out of Lot. And we'd pick the right places. There had to be a stirring in the camp. It had to be a low time. He'd been called by God, had the ups and downs. Now, 14th verse, in that negative situation, God spoke to him. Lift up now thine eyes. See it in the 14th verse. You got it open?
Yes, sir.
See it in the 14th verse. Abraham doesn't have Isaac yet. Abraham doesn't have a big city. 13th chapter, 14th verse. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. The Hebrew is kind of interesting. It reads, from the place there you. Where are you today? I know where I am. Circumstantially. Not the highlight of my life. Oh, in my love for you. In the inexpressible joy to see your faith come through. The circumstance is not the best of these 9 on 30 years. Our nature is we want God to change our circumstance. No. In the midst of that storm, the Lord said unto Abram, lift up, not tomorrow, lift up now. Right now, as you sit in front of me. Right now, as I sit in front of you. Lift. No, God didn't say, I'm picking up your eyes, Abraham. Get ready to float. No, Abram, in your low moment, where we tend to look down at our circumstance, lift up now thine eyes from the place, I like the Hebrew, where you are. Can you do that? These messages have to be bone and marrow lifestyle. You don't know whether you can do it or not until you get into a situation where it appears God's asking the impossible. Lift up now in this dark moment your eyes from the place where thou art. Sick bed, hospital room, whatever the crisis, lift up now thine eyes and look. Just lift up your eyes and look. Look where? From the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, every direction, no matter. Lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art, and look, north, south, east, west, and arise. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Now, what's that rocky, dirty bunch of Samaritan highlands have to do with you and me in the place that we are? You've heard me teach repeatedly. The land of Canaan was the land of promise. Oh, I know the old song. I love it. Won't have to cross Jordan alone. I've heard all the teaching. Out of Egypt, the type of sin. Marching through the wilderness. The life of faith. If that's the life of faith, I'm a jerk. That was the life of disfaith. Complaining, bickering. Unable to get away from their desires to be back in Egypt, and unable to have the faith to tackle the giants in Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. Abram's going to ask, how can I be sure that this promise will come true? Statistically impossible prophecy. Your descendants will go to a strange land. They'll become slaves. They will come out richer than when they went in, and they will return to this place. Canaan is the land of promises obtained. It's not heaven. Canaan is the life of faith. The wilderness is the life of disfaith and God's kindness to continue to put up with it. The wilderness was a failure. He had to kill all of them because of their disfaith. Above 20 years of age. Canaan is the land of promise. It's where you seize what God promised and make it yours. Canaan and not heaven. We're not going to go to heaven and fight Jebusites, Amalekites, Philistines, enemies of God. They're defeated. Canaan is the life of faith. Egypt is the life of sin and bondage. The wilderness is that halfway house. Enough faith to get out, not enough faith to go on. The miserable existence of most Christians. Now, when Abram is told to look, the land that is the land of promise, that is to be his and his descendants, is the type of the book of promise. When he walks, he covers geographic territory. When we walk, we cover biblical promise territory. We are going to claim every promise in the book is mine because God said it was. So don't get confused between Middle Eastern geography and what is being typified. We're not supposed to get up and start walking around and claiming the neighbor's property. You might get shot. Arise. Follow me. Arise. Walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it. For I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came to the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, clear down to the south, and there built an altar unto the Lord. Now let me apply this to us. Whatever my circumstance, whatever yours, lift up now, not tomorrow, not even an hour later. Lift up now thine eyes and look. Start looking in this book. North, south, east, and west. Every direction. Arise. Get up and walk. He walked up and down that land with a promise that everywhere the sole of his foot touched would be his and his seeds forever. Can't you see him walking through the fields of some shepherd that controlled a field? Get off my property. Just tread right on. He doesn't know whose property this belongs to now. Did he get it in his lifetime? No. Came time for Sarah to be buried. He had to buy a plot in the very land that he had tread and claimed as God promised for him. Oh, did it come? Well, not with the first generation out of Egypt, despite the prophecy. The giants drove him away. Neither more Calebs. Give me this mountain. Eventually they went in. God's word is forever settled in heaven. I preach this message to Gene Scott today, hoping it'll reach some of you. In our present state, however dark, lift up now thine eyes to God's book. That's our land. That's the promised land. We walk in until it becomes the reality of heaven. Lift up now thine eyes. Scan the teaching for the 30 years. Scan God's book in your own study. North, south, east, west. Every direction. Arise. Get up in your spirit. Not staggering yourself through disfaith. Rise. Walk through it. Line by line. Paragraph by paragraph. And claim the one that fits your need right now. Every promise in the book is mine. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. You've got a country land, a promise that belongs to you. Walk through it. God will quicken every time. A particular promise. Abram dwelt in Mamre. He didn't spread a tent all over Samaria. He walked and he claimed the land. And then he pitched his tent in Hebron and Mamre. And he bought his own land to bury his wife. Never staggering himself, though he saw no results through those years, that God would keep his promise. Well, I took a little walk through the Canaan land of the book, and I find familiar landmarks that I could pass by, or I could suddenly stop and recognize God gave this to me. In this land of this book, the Lord is my healer. I want to put my faith foot right in the middle of that verse. The Lord is my healer. I walk into the New Testament. I find Jesus looked with compassion and healed because he had compassion. Well, that's in my Bible land. I'm going to rise, look. I'm going to walk to that passage. I find there is a promise. He said, he's sick among you. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil and pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Well, aren't you camping out on healing verses? Yeah, because I need that worse now than anything else I've needed in a long time. When I'm well, I've got a few other corners of this land I want to walk on. I find that someone came to Jesus and said, Lord, help mine unbelief. And he did. I want that help from my Lord. That's in my Bible, land of promise. I find another person whose friends, like you, cared enough about him to tear the roof off of a house where Jesus was meeting and lower him in front of Jesus. Their faith got the healing. That's in my Bible land. I know what Matthew says after a host of healings. Matthew says that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet spake, himself took our infirmities and carried away our sicknesses. That's in my Bible land. You can just leave it there and think about it, or you can lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art and start treading this book. Stop and pause. All Samaria did not look alike. I'm quite sure there was a little difference as he walked between the sand and gravel and the uplands on the west side of Jordan and the plains of Sharon with the lush vegetation. There's got to be places that he walked that he said to himself, boy, me and mine are going to like this better than some of the other. But it was all his. Do you understand me today? The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. The promises I preached for 3 weeks are just as real and in this Bible land today. As thy strength day, so shall thy strength be. The God of the forefront is there before I get there, underneath of the everlasting arms. And on this walk, the shoes are tough enough. What I preached is true yesterday, seems like it. A bruised reed shall he not break. The question is, are we going to stagger ourselves by disbelief? Are we going to allow the entrance? It's just not going to be true with me. Or are you going to defy the circumstance? Lift up now thine eyes from the place that thou art. Look, north, south, east, and west. Arise. Walk the breadth of the land. I picked a few of the promised places that are in my geography focus right now of this Bible land. You find yours. The Lord will provide. The God of impossibility. The Lord is our banner. He's our mother, our Hamka Yahweh. He is our peace. He's our righteousness. Let the crises drive you to lifting up now thine eyes, arising from the place that thou art, and walk this beautiful Bible land. God gave it to us. It's ours for the taking. I will not stop marching in faith. And that's my message.